to talk about something that's going to be more of a review for all of you here. But before, and while I'm here in Olympia, I can mention this, that this is not going to be a review for someone coming to services in Tacoma. There's a brand new couple that would like to attend for their first time today. And having been in touch with them, I know that the topic that is bringing them to the church is their understanding of the Sabbath day, and that they need to really keep the Sabbath day. And knowing that, I was in contact with them earlier this week and 2 months ago, and I wanted to bring this message to them, but also it's relevant to us as well. So that's the little prequel to the sermon message. And the title, just so you know where we're going, is 3, and then 4 reasons to keep the Sabbath day holy. There will be times when we need to answer those who ask us about why do we worship on the Sabbath. And I'll just mention that in our search for a new meeting hall for Tacoma, we went to a lot of different places to look, and a whole variety of places, from hotels and conference centers and libraries and boys and girls clubs and empty storefronts and union halls and community centers, and really did a pretty good search of buildings. And then we came to a number of different churches and asking if we might be able to lease from them. And all along the way, I was asking for God to let us know if the door is closed or open. And to me, it's just as positive to have an answer knowing that the door is closed, we can go and look elsewhere. And we got a lot of closed doors, but then there was this one that began to open. And as it opened up, and I'll tell the story more fully in Tacoma, but as it opened up, we were asked a question. Why do you worship on the Saturday instead of Sunday? Because we were then standing there talking to elders from the Fircrest Presbyterian Church, and it was a direct question to me, and so I needed to answer them. And someday you may also need to answer someone who asks you. So what I said to them was that we see in the scriptures that the command was to keep the seventh day holy, and that we see that Christ and his disciples and apostles later in the church kept the seventh day Sabbath. But we don't judge others who keep Sunday as their day of worship. And so that was enough answer. And so the response that came back was interesting, because it was absolutely satisfying to them. Their answer was, that's really awesome that you keep Saturday, because we've been wanting to find a way to use our building, and everyone who comes, the other churches that are asking, worship on Sunday when we're here, but you worship on Saturday, and that's wonderful. And I said, yeah, I think so. I think it is. But it made me think more about this question, and I would like to answer it more fully for you, because we need to know exactly why we keep the Sabbath day holy. And I was doing a study in the scriptures and found some interesting things, and they're all very positive, and I want to share those with you today. And so let's look and see, in answer to the scripture, why we keep the Sabbath day on the seventh day. And we could look at this topic and go in many different directions. For instance, we could go, how do you keep the Sabbath? How does God intend it to be kept? But today I want to focus on why we keep it and why God said that we should. And so there are 3, and then I scratched it out and said, no, because there's really 4. This one of these 4 pertains especially to new people and to our young people. And when I get to that one, I'll let you know about that. But there are 4 reasons that are clearly revealed in the scriptures about why we are to keep the Sabbath day. Where would we look to find the answer? Where do you think we could look? And by the way, just for your own, for your own edification, you might start jotting down the reasons why we keep it. What do you think the scriptures teach us about this? Let's start at the most basic point in Exodus chapter 20, where God gave the Sabbath command to Moses. He gave it to Israel. Actually, if you remember from the sermon series that we did earlier in the spring, the Sabbath, the commandments were not given by mediation to Moses and then to the people. The people heard God's voice as he gave them the commands. And he wrote the commands with his own finger. And so in the finger and voice of God, we have this commandment in Exodus 20. And let's begin in verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now, as I was studying, I often will stop and I'll think about things and my mind will digress in various ways. And I found that really interesting. But I want to stay focused here today on why. But just as I pass this verse, which is just mentioned, remember the, it's singular, the Sabbath day to keep it holy. It's not a day that we might pick. It is the day that is holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son nor your daughter nor your manservant nor your maidservant nor your cattle nor your stranger who is within your gates. And so we could read those verses and we see that we're to remember and keep it holy because, and I mean how to keep it holy, by refraining from work. But the next verse tells us why. Why did God say it's important? For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So in our first big reason to keep the Sabbath day holy, we see it is because the Lord made the heavens and the earth. He is our creator, and the Sabbath day points us back to that and helps us to remember what God did when he first began to create this universe and this world and put mankind here. We remember our creator. And that is a major part of the keeping of the Sabbath day. It's so important that God embedded those words directly into the commandment itself. And so if someone asks you, why do you keep the Sabbath day? Well, that's one of the answers. Because I remember that God is my creator. And there are so many verses that will speak of that as we look into the scriptures. I just want to open up a few of those for you today and look at this reason. Turn back to Genesis 1, since this is where the scripture refers to when the command is given. It refers us back to this time in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. And here in the first chapter of Genesis, we see those first 6 days in which God worked that are mentioned here. The days when he created day by day the different things that he put on this earth to make it a habitable planet for his children to live. And then on that sixth day, he created man. And then later that day, made a woman from his rib. And in 6 days, he finished the creation. Except he made something else. He made the Sabbath day. That's part of creation too. You know, Christ said, and I think in Matthew 23, that the Sabbath was made for man. And so the Sabbath day is actually part of the creation. And God did that and gave it to us. In Genesis 2, we read of this. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. And then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. And there we see the sanctification of that seventh day and the making of it as the weekly Sabbath day to be kept by God's people from that day forward. And it was, of course, then the seventh day that we see in that creation. The Sabbath commandment focuses our attention on that week and all that God did. And it's so important for us to see that all through the scripture, you can read over and over hundreds of times reference to the creation and what God did. And all the way through the Bible, we see that aspect of this Sabbath commandment. One of the more spiritual parts of the scripture that speaks of this is in John, book of John chapter 1. And what I'm doing now is just helping us today to see how it's so important for us in our observance of the Sabbath day to remember that God is our Creator. In John 1, beginning in verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made." You see that depth of understanding that's given to us, that Jesus Christ, who became flesh and dwelt among us, was our Creator. And nothing that was made without him. In verse 10, it says, "He was in the world, and the world was made through him." Again, all of the times this is referred to. The world was made through him, and the world did not know him. And in verse 14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." He became one of us, and he entered into this creation in that way, the creation that he had made, that God had made through him. And right here in this section, we find part of the reason, in fact, a very big part of the reason, that God was doing what he was doing, why he made this creation, and why he rested on that day to help us to focus. And we see in verse 12 and 13, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God." Do you see that, brethren? That it begins to focus on the reason for the creation, the reason that God put mankind on this earth. He wanted to have his own family, his own children. And those who receive him and believe, he gives the right to become children of God. And part of our receiving and believing is the keeping of this fourth commandment, that we would remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. It says, "Even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." And so we have here the Son of God who became one of us, saying that we can be one of the children of God, born not of our human father and mother, but of God himself. And this is all part of our looking back and seeing the reason for the Sabbath day. Remember that he is our Creator. And something very, very profound in this. And in Colossians 1, we read in this chapter earlier in the first message about the hope that is here. But in Colossians 1, verse 12, it says, "Giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love." And reading on, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation." And again, you see the evidence in the continual connecting here of what the purpose of God is, that Christ is the firstborn, indicating there will be many others as well. For by him, and notice it goes right back to the creation, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth. And so our life forever, our salvation, everything that we hope for is based on this, that Jesus Christ created us. Let's read on. And it specifically shows that it's Christ who did so. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. Brethren, it's so important for us to know this and remember in our Sabbath observance what is actually happening. There's something very subtle and yet very powerful in the book of Ephesians about this. Hope you would focus your attention on these verses and think of it in relation to Christ, our Creator, and what God and Christ are doing. In Ephesians 3, verse 8 through 11, Paul is speaking. He says, "To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." Remember that verse that opened up in the first message, Christ in you, the hope of glory? This is the same thing he's speaking of here, the unsearchable riches of Christ. "And to make all people see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ." From the beginning of the ages, this was his plan and purpose. And it goes right back to the creation. And brethren, these things just keep tying us back to why God said we should keep the Sabbath day. "To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places." It's part of our purpose that we help others to understand this too, and focus their attention back to our Creator, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through him in faith. Therefore I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is for your glory. And again, hope comes back into the understanding. The Sabbath was made for man, and we are to preach that to others and help that to be known to them, help them to see the unsearchable riches of Christ and his eternal purpose. In so many other places in the Scripture, we see this referred to, the creation and the purpose for which God made mankind in his own image. You could read in those last three chapters of Job. You could see there as God is explaining to Job about the creation. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? And God himself refers back to his great power, and without him, our inability to even exist. And so he helped Job to understand. And King David in Psalm 8 says, "What is man that you are mindful of him?" And he looked up into the skies and see the creation, and it taught him of God. You can look in Romans 1 and see that even today it should be that the invisible things of him should be evident by the things which are made. And it helps us to understand that God exists and that he is there. Turns us to him and helps us have a connection, a relationship with him. So the Sabbath helps us to understand these foundational principles of who God is and what his purpose is. And how can we apply this? Well, I think one of the things to do on the Sabbath day is to really enjoy the creation, to step out into the beautiful scenery of the area where we may live And it's beautiful everywhere if you get away from the things that man has made. And here in the Northwest, you can see Mount Rainier. You can see amazing trees and beautiful waterfalls and flowers. And you know, those are the ways that we can help make the Sabbath day holy, to remember the Creator by looking at the creation and noticing that and thanking Him for all that He has done and is doing and for the reason that He has done that. But there's more. Another big reason for us to keep the Sabbath day holy is given to us about 40 years later when Moses again listed the Ten Commandments for his people. Have you ever noticed how the wording is different in this fourth commandment? The first one we read in Exodus refers back to the Creator. For in 6 days God created the heavens and the earth, and He rested. What does it say is the reason that we should keep the Sabbath day in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 5, when again these commandments are listed? And so let's look there and see. In Deuteronomy 5, beginning in verse 12, just to set it in the context, observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy as the Lord your God commanded you. And then he speaks of 6 days to do our labor, and the seventh day is a day of rest. And then verse 15 gives us the reason. And brethren, this is the second of the big reasons that we are to keep the Sabbath day holy. It says in verse 15, and remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. There we go. Another of the big reasons that we keep the Sabbath is because God redeemed Israel from Egypt. And this applied to them then, and it still applies, but now we also have the application of our redemption. The Lord, who is our Creator, is our Redeemer. It was interesting in the second song that we sang this morning as we opened that this was mentioned. And those both words were there in that second verse, I think, in the Creator and the Redeemer. And both are so powerful in our understanding of the Sabbath day. Let's look at this and understand what is meant by this a little bit more. The account of God's mighty work as He redeemed Israel from bondage, that is a theme that flows through the rest of the Bible. We see that God is there for His people, keeping the promises that He gave years before to Abraham, to Isaac and Jacob, and to His own people. And in those passages that are so often referred to in Scripture, we find reasons to understand the Sabbath day. Let's turn and see one of these in the New Testament in Acts chapter 7. And this is when a newly ordained deacon was preaching very powerfully in the Spirit, and he spoke of the things that happened as God redeemed Israel. In Acts 7, verse 30 to 34, and when 40 years had passed, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, to Moses, in a flame of fire in a bush, in the wilderness of Mount Sinai. When Moses saw it, he marveled at the sight, and as he drew near to observe, the voice of the Lord came to him, saying, I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses trembled and dared not look. And then the Lord said to him, take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. I have certainly seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt. I've heard their groaning and have come down to deliver them. And now come, I will send you to Egypt. You see, that story holds its value and its importance, not just in the time of Moses, but also the time of the apostles. And the words of that narrative are quoted there, what God said to Moses as he stood there before that burning bush. And we see how important it is that he would keep his promise and redeem them from bondage. And as we go on, verse 35, this Moses whom they rejected, saying, "Who made you a ruler and a judge?" is the one God sent to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel who appeared to him in the bush. He brought them out after he had shown wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness 40 years. This is that Moses who said to the children of Israel, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear." And Christ was that prophet. This is he who was in the congregation in the wilderness with the angel who spoke to him on Mount Sinai and with our fathers, the one who received the living oracles to give to us, whom our fathers would not obey but rejected, and in their hearts they turned back to Egypt. So we see the story there, the promise of a greater Redeemer who would come. Not just the redemption of Israel from Egypt, but a greater Redeemer would come. And Moses was speaking of that all the way back in his day. In Romans chapter 8, we were also here in the first message of the day. In Romans 8, in verse 15, we say, were they brought back into bondage? Or are we to be brought back into bondage? No, let's read what it says in Romans 8:15. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by which we are to cry out, Abba, Father. It refers back, I think, to John 1, where it says those who believe and receive have the right to become the children of God. And then with his spirit, we are able to call out to him as our Father. It's because we have been released from bondage, because he's our Redeemer too, because we can then have a much closer relationship with him, as God had intended that Israel have a close relationship with him, but we even closer. And our redemption is even a greater redemption than the bringing of Israel out of Egypt. You can think back of all the things that happened there, and even the parting of the Red Sea, and that is not anywhere near the kind of release from bondage that you and I have, which is a spiritual miracle in our own lives. It's not just the opening of a physical sea, but it's the opening of our hearts and minds. And we have a reason to keep the Sabbath day holy, is because we have been released from bondage too. And we should remember that every Sabbath day. In 1 Peter 1, 1 Peter 1, in verse 17, "And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your sojourning here in fear." So we call upon him. That means we draw near to him. We have a close relationship with him. In verse 18, "knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ." When we keep the Sabbath day, we should remember that we were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Before he created all this, this plan was already in place, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. What an important reason to keep the Sabbath day holy. In chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, it says, "But you are a chosen generation." Israel of old was a chosen generation. They were brought out of the darkness of Egypt and into the promised land eventually. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. The Sabbath helps us to remember that we've been called out of darkness. You know, the Sabbath command is perhaps the most misunderstood and controversial command of all of the ten, except maybe the first one. But how many people in this world do not know or believe that they should keep the Sabbath day holy? And so they choose another day. And again, we don't judge them, but we were called out of the darkness of this world and into the light of his marvelous light, who once were not a people. These are the same kind of words used of Israel, who before were not a people. They were just the slaves in Egypt. But then they became a nation, and Egypt became a second or third rate nation after all that happened to them, who once were not a people but are now the people of God. And we collectively are that nation, that body, that special people, that chosen generation, who remember that we were redeemed and we keep the Sabbath day because of that. We were called out of darkness to understand. So our Sabbath observance should include this element, to take the time to remember what God and Christ have done and are doing for us in our lives. There's a third reason that we keep the Sabbath day, and this one I want to focus on the new people and the young people among us. And we won't go in as much depth here, but it's so important, and it's directly from the scriptures about why to keep the Sabbath day. If you'll turn to Isaiah 58, oftentimes new people and young people, as they grow up, they struggle with the concept of having to change the way they've lived and begin to keep the Sabbath day. It may mean giving up a job or schooling or many other things that would have to be given up. And sometimes it's a very hard struggle. And I know it was for me. I know there were times when I knew if I would only work on Saturday that I could have a much better job than the one I had or the one I didn't have at different times. But why does God say we should keep the Sabbath day? In Isaiah 58 and verse 13, he says this, and this is to me a challenge and a promise. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, that is from trampling on it, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord. And I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. He's saying, I'm going to give you the birthright promises that I gave to Jacob. Amazing promises. And sometimes it doesn't happen right away. Sometimes it takes a while for us to be tested. And the Sabbath is a test commandment. And it is a sign between us and God. And there's so much we could say on that. But this is like a challenge and a promise. And those who are new to keeping the Sabbath are struggling with it. You could read this. And I have found this to be true in my life. When I fought with this part of my understanding and my obedience to God, and I had to work through some of those things in my own head, He says, you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth. He will provide for us more than we ever could expect, and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. That's a promise. He will follow that up, and he has in many lives. And I hope that those of you who are struggling would read that and talk to others who have gone through this time of trial in their life too. Yes, it's worth it to keep the Sabbath day holy. There's one more aspect I'd like to cover. It's really important about why we keep the Sabbath day. And we find this in the book of Hebrews. And I want to read several verses here and lead into it, because if we just take part of the book, we'll get the message. But if we take a little bit more of it, we're going to really see the importance. And it ties these three or four elements together, that God is our creator, that he is our redeemer, that he will follow through on his blessings to us in our lifetime now. And there's something else, another big reason. Let's find out in Hebrews. Let's begin in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 10 through 12. And you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth. Now, if you read the context, you'll see that this is God the Father speaking to his Son, Jesus Christ. And the Father is saying this to Christ, and you, Lord, in the beginning were the creator. You laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. So we're seeing the reference to that element. They will perish, but you remain. There's something eternal that's being mentioned. And they will grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You will fold them up and they will be changed. But you are the same and your years will not fail. There's something eternal that we're looking at too. And it begins to lay that foundation for us here in chapter 1. And then we go to chapter 2 and verse 5. Speaking of the Father again, it says, he has not put the world to come, of which we speak, in subjection to angels. And so now he's saying the world to come. There's something awesome ahead of us. There is a world to come that's so much better than this world. But one testified in a certain place saying, what is man that you are mindful of him? That's David's words from Psalm 8 as he was looking up into the skies. And you see, we'll read the context here. Or the Son of Man, that you take care of him. You made him a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor and have set him over the works of your hands. And you put all things in subjection under his feet. It refers back to that creation when God said to Adam, this is the world, subdue it, dress and keep it, take care of it, multiply upon it, fill it. But not yet all things, it says. For in that he put all things in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we do not yet see all things put under him. Not yet. There's something else, something more, something much bigger. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. This is now speaking of that redemption that came to us through him. For the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. You see, we're almost reviewing these reasons for keeping the Sabbath day. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons to glory, to make the author of their salvation perfect through sufferings. We do not yet see the fulfillment of God's purpose for mankind. And then in chapter 4, as he goes on to speak, he says this: therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, and in chapter 3, you could just scan that, you'll see that he's talking about Israel who did not believe and were not able, through unbelief, to enter into his rest at that time. But he says there's a promise yet to be kept. A promise remains of entering his rest. Let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. The gospel of what? The kingdom of God, the world to come, eternal life. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest. We do enter that rest. As he said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. But brethren, we do. How do we enter that rest? In verse 4, for he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And he goes right back to creation, you see, as he's laying this foundation for something even more important, why we keep the Sabbath day holy. And again in this place, they shall not enter my rest. Since, therefore, it remains that some must enter it, and who enters it? We do. It says in verse 3, for we who have believed do enter that rest. There's a promise for us. And those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience. Again, he designates a certain day, not just any day we pick, but day certain, the seventh day, saying in David, today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. And he says, for if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. This commandment remains in force. It is shown to us, is symbolized, if you will, every seventh day, every week on the seventh day. But it's something that's greater than this one day, is something that is referring to the world to come. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works, as God did from his. So we cease from our works every seventh day, as God did. We keep the Sabbath holy because there remains something yet ahead of us that is symbolized by it. And that is that world to come. This is, I think, the clearest instruction in the Bible about the Sabbath day picturing the future rest that we will enter into. That rest of the kingdom, the world to come. We're not the only ones, by the way, who understand that the seventh day is the Sabbath day. I often like to go to other sources and see what is thought and believed by others. I have a book that I found very, very interesting. It's written by one of the previous popes of the Catholic Church. Pope John Paul II was a very popular pope just 15, 20 years ago. This book called Crossing the Threshold of Hope. This is in his own words, so that we're not reading what someone else says about the Catholic Church's belief, but what do they believe? The reason I want to bring this up is just to show, brethren, that other people also know when the Sabbath day is. And so on page 68, in a section speaking about the time after Christ's resurrection, and it's actually speaking about what happened on that first morning of that, the morning of that first day of the week that we read of in the Gospels. And it says, and I'm just going to quote, then the Sunday after the Holy Sabbath, the Sunday after the Holy Sabbath, is speaking then of how we must then stand before the empty tomb. And so you see, even in places like this, the current teaching and belief of the Catholic Church by the Pope is that the Holy Sabbath is the day before Sunday. It's there. Why do we keep Saturday? Because it is the seventh day. Why do we keep Saturday instead of Sunday? Because we look back to the creation and we understand God is our creator. Why do we keep the Sabbath on Saturday instead of Sunday? It's because we see that Jesus Christ redeemed us from bondage. Why do we keep Sabbath instead of another day? It's because we know that he will feed us with the heritage of Jacob. He will honor his promises if we make the Sabbath a delight and delight in him on the Sabbath day. And why do we keep the Sabbath day instead of Sunday? It's because we see that it pictures something so grand that we will be able to enter into his rest. And so the Sabbath day helps us look back. It helps us to see his work in our lives today. And it helps us to look into the future and to see that world to come of which we speak.